we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners today. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What does God want more than anything from His children? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, your ears are open always to the prayers of your servants. Open our hearts and minds to you, that we may live in harmony with your will and receive the gift of your Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 35. Be dressed ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men and women waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in a second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, what does God want from his children, perhaps more than anything else? I believe the answer is given in our text today and can be summarized in this one word, faithfulness. That is the word that seems to summarize the whole Christian life. When we talk about faithfulness in our Christian faith, we most often refer to God's faithfulness to us. We have this great hymn that has been sung, "Great is thy faithfulness." In other words, it means that he is the unchangeable one. The writer of the book of Hebrews put it this way, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." In other words, Jesus is the same as he was many years ago, and if the world continues to stand, he will be the same many, many years in the future. Now that is not agreed upon by some. Recently, I heard of a theological professor. In fact, I saw this and read it. He's writing on a social issue which was condemned in biblical times as sin. But now it is gaining acceptance in our day. And how is the church supposed to reconcile this word with what we see all around us? Well, this is what the professor said. He teaches that the human being has been so created by God that he or she is constantly in change. In other words, we are not the same basically as our parents or grandparents were, and our children in the future and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will not be the same kind of a person that you and I are. Consequently, because we are of this kind, God has to adjust his laws, says this professor, to keep up with human beings. I don't know about you, but that kind of leaves me in no man's land. What do we then do with this comforting promise found in Malachi 2:15 and quoted by the writer in the book of Hebrews? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that is not true, you have a God who fluctuates. You have a God who is not the same God that your great-great-grandfather had. Isn't that just a little bit cold? No, God is faithful. He can be trusted. He is consistent. Look at the seasons. We talk about the winter, and we anticipate the snow, at least those of us who live in the Northland. We think about the summer, and some of us who are living right here in the Midwest, and I understand around the various parts of the United States, have been complaining just a little bit because of the excessive heat. But then somebody says, well, we have to realize it's, for example, in our case, it's August in Iowa, and that's supposed to be hot. God is consistent. He is faithful. But more than that, he is faithful as far as our relationship with him is concerned. He is a God who has said that if you will repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, who atoned for your sin at the cross of Calvary, you will be forgiven. Now that's a promise that he gives to us today. And it's a promise that you and I will have as long as we are on this earth. He has promised that he would encourage us, that he would guide us, that he would strengthen us, and that he would give us hope for tomorrow. We can rely on that because God, the God of the Scriptures, is the one who is faithful. He never, never changes. Today in the text, he's more talking about our faithfulness to God. Now, our Lord in this text calls his children to be faithful. The first thing we have to ask is, who are these children? This is addressed to the children of God. Our Heavenly Father does not expect a world that does not know him to be faithful. He understands that first we must be in a relationship with him before his word can really begin to be authoritative in our lives. It is the children who are called to be faithful. They are the people who really live in a personal relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you are one of those who loves the Lord Jesus and has experienced his love and his mercy in your life, then he has something to say. The parable talks about Jesus Christ coming again. The reference could very well be to the second coming of Christ, when he shall return to judge the living and the dead. On the other hand, it could be when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to receive us in death. Whatever it might be, our Lord is saying, be ready. Watch. It's like the man who went away and he said to his children, be faithful. He expected them to work, just as if he were always there. They were his employees. He was paying them. And now you be faithful, and when I come back, your faithfulness will be rewarded. Jesus implies here that that is not always the case with those who are his children. I believe it's true, and this is not original, certainly by me, that we separate the secular life and the sacred life. In the period of time when we are celebrating the sacred, we are faithful to God. But when we move out into the secular world, there we may not be as faithful. We left God behind. Now this is another hour in our day, and this is a time when we will not necessarily be faithful to him. Here is a call from Jesus Christ. Be faithful to me, both in the secular and also in the sacred. Let me illustrate. We sat waiting for the rain to stop, and one of the men mentioned being in church on Sunday. I assumed that in this congregation where he worshiped, they sang hymns. Hymns like we sing here on Christian Crusaders. Hymns that are found in any evangelical church. These hymns are giving praise to God for his faithfulness. That is the sacred time of life. Sunday morning, whatever the hour, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever it might be, when the faithful are gathered together in the house of God to worship him. Why wouldn't you sing praises to him? That's exactly what you came to do. But now you're in a different setting. And certainly that man evidently understood that, because as he conversed with those who were around him, he began to curse one swear word after another, taking the name of God in vain. The same God who was praised on Sunday is the same God who is cursed on Monday. Now he lived in a secular world. This is what our Lord is after. He wants faithfulness to us under all conditions. He does not want that inconsistency. He calls us to be faithful to him at all times. Now, sadly, all of us who are the children of God must confess that we have our weaker moments where our behavior can be a poor witness for our Lord. But as believers in Christ Jesus, we repent and we return to him. And our prayer is, God, God, make us faithful to you. Forgive us our sins of so often denying you in the way that we live, the things that we say. He's calling out again, be faithful. Yes, I will forgive you, but I then encourage you, I plead with you, I challenge you, I command you to be faithful to me. Faithfulness to God reveals itself in our relationship with people. For example, he is calling us to be faithful in our marriages. When Jesus Christ returns, whether it be at the end of the world or when he comes in death to meet us, he expects us to be faithful in our relationship with our partner. You see, when you and I stand there and make that vow on a particular day and we are being married, he meant that we were to be faithful to that. I, Mary, take you, Joe, to be my lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death us do part. That's the marriage vow. That's not just some words that we speak for a few minutes at a wedding ceremony. This is a promise to human beings, and it is a promise to God Almighty. Keep the vow. That is a cry of God to his children. keep the vow. That is a part of faithfulness. When we have entered into that marriage state with the understanding that we want to raise a family and bring them up in the way of the Lord that they may be great children of God, he is saying, be faithful. Be faithful as a father and a mother. You know how I want you to live. You know how I want you to train those children. You know I want you to teach them to pray, to read the Word of God. You know that they are to hear the testimony that I have as a Christian. You know that they are to be brought to church and to Sunday school. You know that in their home, they are to be confronted with Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Be faithful. That's where the faithfulness comes in. What about our relationship to our employer or our employee? Faithfulness, friend. The work ethic. That's pretty important. When we begin to slough off, when we do not give our employer a faithful day's work, that is not pleasing to God. For he says that when you and I go to that office, go to that factory, go wherever we are, we're going to do everything that we can to be the best employer in the name of Jesus Christ for that man who has hired us. On the other hand, there's also a word there to those who are in administration, the employer, that they and you, if you listen today, are fair with that person who has come to work for you. Faithful. You serve me, and you will have a right remuneration. You see, this Christianity goes right down into the depth of all of life. And that's what he's saying to us today. Your Christianity is going to show in faithfulness as it is lived out in the walls of your home. And your children are going to say someday, I certainly had a father and a mother who were faithful. They were faithful to me. They were faithful to God. And this is my impression of them. Wonderful when the children say that. But how much more important when God has said it. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is a summary of God's relationship with us. And now he cries out to us today, be faithful to me, even to the point of death. And when that day comes, I will give you the crown of life. What does the Lord want? Perhaps more than anything else from his children? Faithfulness. Faithfulness to him at all times. Amen.
Oh,
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, that you are truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're able to count on you to stand by us whenever the going is rough. We know that you have not promised that we would have a life of ease, but you have always said that you would stand there faithfully ministering to us. And now, God, we who are the recipients of your grace and your love and your faithfulness, we pray today that you will forgive us where we have been unfaithful, praising you one day and using your word in profane ways another time. Forgive us, Lord, and use us in your kingdom as faithful servants. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service has been a blessing to you. We are a non-profit ministry, and it is your prayers and financial support that enable us to worship with you today. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once again, our toll-free phone number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.